Jamunatira Vanachari
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Gopi Jana Balaba Girivaradari
Gopi Jana Balava Giridharadhari
Yashodanandana Braja Janaranjana
Yashodanandana Braja Janaranjana
Jamuna Tira Vanachari
Jamuna Tira Vanachari
Jai Shishi Radha Madhava Astasati Ki Jai Shishi Chaitanya Chandodaya Mandir Ki Jai
Jai
Narayanam Namaskrityam
Narayanam Namaskrityam
Naram Chaiva Narottamam
Ram Chaiva Narottamam
Devam Sarasvatim Vyasam
Devam Sarasvatim Vyasam
Tato Jayam Udyarayat
Tato Jayam Udyarayat
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Jai Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm thinking in Spanish. Primero Canto. Canto 1, Chapter 11. Krishna enters Dwarka. No? Yeah, yeah. Text number 28. Please repeat. Pravistas.
Pravistas.
To.
Griham Pitraho.
Griham Pitraho.
Pravishtas tu griham pitraho.
Pravishtas tu griham pitraho.
Parishvaktas vamatrebi.
Parishvaktas vamatrebi.
Parishvaktas vamatrebi.
Parishvaktas vamatrebi.
Vavande shirasa sapto.
Vavande shirasa sapta.
Vavande shirasa sapta.
Vavande shirasa sapta.
Devaki pramukha muda.
Devaki pramukha muda.
Pravistas tu graham pitraho.
Pravistas tu graham pitraho.
Parishvaktas vamatrabhi.
Parishvaktas vamatrabhi.
Vavande shirasa sapto.
Vavande shirasa sapta.
Devaki pramukha muda.
Deva
ki pamuda
muda.
Bolie. Pravishtas tu graham pitro.
Pravishtas tu graham pitro.
Parishvaktas vamatrabi.
Parishvaktas vamatrabi.
Vande shirasa sapta.
Vabande shirasa sapta.
Devaki pramukha muda.
Devaki pramukha muda.
Pravishtas tu graham pitro.
Pravishtas tu graham pitro.
Parishvakta swamatrivi.
Parishvakta swamatrivi.
Vavande shirasa sapta.
Bhavande Shirasa Sata
Devaki Pramukamuda
Devaki Pramukamuda.
Nobody else? I guess not.
Okay. Pravistaha.
Pravistaha.
After entering.
After entering.
That's interesting, Matt. Let us speculate. Sta, it means to be fixed. V means to go towards, and pra means something. Yeah. Maybe we'll learn Sanskrit eventually.
But.
Griham. Houses.
Houses.
Here we have a plural of griha.
Pitraho.
Of the father. Parishvaktaha. Embraced. Swamatrabhi.
By his own mothers.
Vavande. Offering obeisances. Shirasa. His head. My robot's giving me troubles here. There we go. Yeah, okay. Sapta. Seven. Devaki.
Devaki.
Pramukha. Headed by. Muda. Gladly. Pravishtastu griham pitro parishvaktasvamatribhi vabande shirasa sapta devaki paramukha muda. Okay. After entering the house of his father, he was embraced by the mothers present, and the Lord offered his obeisances unto them by placing his head at their feet. The mothers were headed by Devaki, his real mother.
Please repeat.
After entering the house of his father.
After entering the house of his father.
He was embraced by the mothers present. And the Lord offered his obeisances unto them. By placing his head at their feet. The mothers were headed by Devaki. His real mother. Okay, purport by Srila Prabhupada.
Oh, I'm sorry, it's a little late there. So, Prabhu, if we could all mute it this time. And just give me 1 second to switch over here.
I offer my obeisances to my spiritual master, so Prabhupada, by whose grace, even a muted person can speak poetry. A blind man can see the stars in the sky. A dog can cross over the ocean. And a lame man can cross over mountains. So Prabhupada ki. Wow, makes it easy. Report by Srila Prabhupada. It appears that Vasudev, the father of Lord Krishna, had completely separate residential quarters where he lived with his 18 wives, out of whom Srimati Devaki is the real mother of Lord Krishna. But in spite of this, all other stepmothers were equally affectionate to him, as will be evident from the following verse. Lord Krishna also did not distinguish his real mother from his stepmothers. And he equally offered his obeisances unto all the wives of Vasudeva present on the occasion. According to scriptures also, there are seven mothers. The real mother is the wife of the spiritual master, the wife of a brahmana, the wife of the king, the cow, the nurse, and the earth. All of them are mothers. Even by this injunction of the Shastras, the stepmother, who is the wife of the father, is also as good as the mother, because the father is also one of the spiritual masters. Lord Krishna, the Lord of the universe, plays the part of an ideal son, just to teach others how to treat their stepmothers. It's very nice for us to be able to participate in these classes again. We're traveling a lot now. Actually, we came from, before we were in Chile, and we were back in Peru for about, 3 weeks. And now we've come to, day before yesterday, we came from Peru to Cochabamba, Bolivia. The old name for Bolivia is Peru Alto. High Peru. And it took us 15 hours. It was one of the most hellish trips I've ever had in my life. I had to go from Peru to La Paz, and the airport there is 13,333 feet. If you're looking down at Denver, it's about 8,000 feet below you, Denver. Then we had to fly to Santa Cruz and back, and finally got here. And it's really dangerous because you can, in this age, you can actually get a brain stroke from this high pressure. But it's worth it because so many nice devotees here, and they're having a national festival, and maybe here in the background there's kirtan going on outside, and a big St. Bernard dog, Bhima, like that. And now again he barks and roars. So very nice being in association with devotees here. We had the class for the temple in the morning with Dhruva Maharaj. Then we had a Skype class for our Bhakti Bhai Baba program. Now we have this class, and we have one more seminar this afternoon for 2 hours on our Bhakti Bhai Baba program here. So we're, kind of like the spiritual world, like that. I've heard Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said that unless you're ready to talk without pause to people who are eager to hear about Krishna, you're not ready to go back to the spiritual world. Got some smoke coming in there. It's okay. Yeah. So in this whole Bhakti Baba program, we're doing like all the first 6 cantos in 4 years, and this year we'll run the first 2 cantos. And I think after doing this, I'm going to kind of just stay with the first 2 cantos for various reasons, and I'll teach and study those and go along with the other cantos as a more of a student. And the first 2 cantos, first canto we're mentioning is like a preface. It tells why the Bhagavatam is being spoken, under what circumstances, what are the qualifications of the speaker, what are the qualifications of the audience. And then we go very, very nicely to the second canto. Actually, the end of the first canto, the Pandavas have left, Krishna has left, what else? Gandhari has left, Subhadra has left, Dhruvade has left, Dhritarashtra has left, Madhura has left, and now Maharaj Pariksit's there. And so then the last chapters 16 through 19 describe how, the exact circumstances, how he met Sukadeva Goswami, and then the kind of questions and answers they had, like that. Socrates, he was in the prison, and they told him he was a rascal guy, and he should be executed for what he'd done. But if he would leave the Athens and never come back, and bother everybody with his forthright speaking, then he didn't have to take the poison. But he said, no. If I've been determined to be a rascal guy, then I should take the poison. He said, well, why don't you just leave instead? He said, no. So he was waiting there. The final dialogue is called the Phaedo, Phaedo. It's very nice. And he said, do you have any questions now about whether or not the soul is real or anything? And his student said, well, it's a really important question, because you're risking your immortal life on this. You're risking your life on that the soul is immortal. So you must be really convinced. You know? And Socrates said, yes, it's not an idle question like that. Poison's right here, you know. So right now we're really asking if the soul is immortal or not. You know? So same way, this, we're coming through all these different chapters in the first canto, and it's really coming to the point where we understand, when we start the second canto, and Sukadeva Goswami starts his Bhagavatam class by saying, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, that we're dealing with a very serious situation. And we're not dealing with a lightweight audience, too. If he makes some kind of mistake, there's probably plenty of old sages and rishis in the audience who are going to raise their hand and say, Prabhu, I think that's not quite correct there, you know. So it's a very precise situation when we start the second canto with a lot of motivation. You know, if somebody knew that after this class you're going to go out today and be hit by an automobile and have your pelvis crushed and, you know, your face half ripped off and die bleeding in your own lungs, you're not going to be a pleasant circumstance. So it's more than just theoretical understanding. It says in Maharaj Pariksit, he'd renounced his clothes, his horse, his family, everything. He was no longer thinking of himself as anybody's best friend. But then he was still conscious of his body. So it said that by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, he was elevated to the platform, of attachment to Krishna, asaktis, and bhava. And the bhava intensified to the point of prema. At that point, his body was of no more importance to him than like maybe we have an old jacket or something. It's really old, and we're really thinking about replacing it anyway. If something bad happens to it, and we think, oh, okay, well, it's kind of nice. My gosh, now I have an excuse to get a new jacket. Mm-hmm. So you have to come to that. We have to come go all these different phases like that. And so in this chapter, we see Krishna entering. Before, in the first chapter, the very first part, chapters 1, 2, and 3, we see the example of Narada Muni. And Narada Muni shows us how you can be, actually the Sanskrit says his mother was a mudha, you know. So she was a very, very nice lady, but very simple, serving girl. And he went all the way from being the son of a mudha to being Narada Muni, you know, all within some time. He may have met certain people, he had certain qualifications, he did certain things, his own effort. He took his Paribhagacharya, traveling everywhere. So he's a good example of how the whole process works from the very simple beginning all the way up to the full success of being, a famous Sankirtan devotee. Yeah. Then we meet maybe Kunti. And then Kunti, she shows with her prayers how to live with Krishna in this world, how to try and get Krishna as part of your service situation in this world. And then we see Bhishma. He specifically shows us how to settle things up before you go with your family, get you to steer properly, install to take over his task. That he doesn't leave his ashram irresponsibly. But then he shows us Lila Smaranam, how by focusing on remembering his pastimes as Lila in a proper time, proper situation, can leave the body. Then who else do we have? Ladies in Hastinapur, they're offering prayers when Krishna's leaving. And they seem more like, kind of like in Shantaras, just appreciating Krishna as the cause of all causes, maybe Mahavishnu. And later on we'll see when Yudhishthira, when asking Arjuna how everybody is in Dwarka. And Yudhishthira says, Arjuna says, Krishna's gone, all the Yadavas have gone. And then he remembers all the pastimes of Krishna with the Yadus, with the Pandavas. And he remembers his own pastimes. And specifically he comes to the Bhagavad Gita pastime. And by remembering that, he's completely able to become free from all different levels of material existence, enter into bhava, and become detached completely from the material world, never to come back. So he also shows us Lila Smaranam as a way to quit your body if you have chance to prepare like that. So now, of course, it's this whole background in Dwarka. it seems like a little taste of what it's really like in the spiritual world, and more than the spiritual world, more than Mahavishnu, but to actually the in Dwarka, where there's these different personal relationships are actually manifest. Krishna rides in the outskirts of the country and blows his conch shell, and everybody becomes enlivened in the country, kind of like Brahman. And then he starts to see all the citizens of all kinds of ranks, all kinds of peoples, merchants, you know, courtesans, everybody. But they're all his devotees. And by the tricks of fate, somebody may be in any kind of position, kind of nature like that, but they can all be devotees, you know. And then he goes in and is talking about his other family members, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and relations with them. And now we're going from Dasya Ras, because what Pradyumna, of course, is mentioned, explained many times, is one of the leaders. He is a leader. I think he's the leader of all the sons in Dwarka. But he has this reverential attitude towards Krishna. And he never acts in any kind of unusual fashion. Oh, Anu, get Anu. Close your microphone. Close your
microphone. All right.
Yeah. Ah, yeah, okay. Yeah. And so Pradyumna, and then servants. And now we're going to Vatsalya Ras, like that. And it's very, very wonderful. You know, of course, an example. It's interesting because, you know, here, right in the first canto, we're talking about all next chapter, we'll talk about all the mothers, how they're naturally, milk is flowing from their breasts, and they're embracing Krishna on their he's old enough now to have children and everything else, grown up children, but they're still putting him on their lap like their baby. So it's a very personal thing. Again, for us people who are raised in impersonalism and voidism, it's very kind of frightening. My goodness, all these. We're afraid of personal relationships. David Haberman, in his introduction to his translation of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, we use that for our courses, he makes this point that most cultures, many spiritual cultures, they consider emotions something to be suppressed and eliminated, icky and nasty, because they do. In material life, they lead to all these nasty things, you know, these different sentiments. If you let almost any sentiment go, you're going to be in trouble in most cases in the material world. Passion and ignorance, you know? Maybe some goodness, they take you in the right direction, like that, you know? And then it specifically is talking, of course, about different kinds of mothers. I have one question, maybe somebody later on can explain this. Vande, that's the offering obeisance, this is Vande, Shirasa, the head, Sapta Devaki Pramukha Muda. So I think that means that Devaki had seven sisters, and out of the, they all married Vasudev. And then out of the 18 wives, then the seven were there who were headed by Devaki. And it says those who were present in the purport, you know, received them. So it's interesting who's present, who's not. Yeah. And it's one topic, of course, it's interesting because we see that there's this, you know, myself being in a male body, I have a certain kind of intelligence and way of dealing with things and, you know, so forth, so on. And then it's interesting because as we're going through at least this first canto with our devotees and our students, and we're discussing things individually more like that, and people, their realizations and stuff. So there's several very nice ladies, Chandamukhi, Mother Gandharvika, several, and they just have different reactions. I mean, they're seeing how the ladies are reacting to things, how they feel, what they think about, and different things strike them, you know. And one of the things we went through this chapter was that one of the Matajis, very nice Brahminical lady, she was saying it was really as hard for her to think of how, you know, a woman could share her son with other people and how Krishna could have equal affection for all his stepmothers. It's just, she's saying it's a very strong nature, as far as she knows, for a lady to be very possessive, you know, of her children, to be very jealous of her husband, you know. If some of the woman starts talking to your husband at a party, then oof, you know, can be very irritating like that. So different reasons for these things. Everything can be in the mode of goodness and can be for a very good purpose. That female psychology is designed this way in terms of keeping proper situation. You know, if the husband starts talking to some lady at a party and they start joking, and he kind of looks over and glances at his wife, And the conversation goes cold right there. Like that. Oops, you know. Yeah. If I don't stop this right here, when I, on the way home, we're going to have a lot of conversation about my dealings with other women. You know? And it's good. You know, if you can limit your joking and that kind of thing just between husband and wife, it's very nice. You know? Yeah. And of course, the story of Ram, we see that the stepmothers there had problems in dealing with equally with their sons. You know? And Dhruva, also again, stepmothers had problems dealing with their sons. You know, other sons, and Krishna treating all of them equally. Of course, Ram was treating even, who was it, Kakai? She was the person who was stepmother who was acting so improperly. But he paid her his obeisances to her in every circumstance like that, and treated her like his own mother with such respect. You know, so Krishna can flood everybody with so much affection that nobody feels there's any time to worry about if anybody else has more than I do. I have so much, you know, from Krishna, that I haven't got time to worry about if anybody is getting more favors than I am. Well, let them get all the favors they want. I have so many that I cannot possibly handle them, you know, like that. So Krishna creates a situation where everybody is naturally can be non-envious, you know, like that. Of course, there can be competition. You know, Radharani and Chandravali, they're competing, but not to hurt each other or get something from each other, but to try and do something that will please Krishna more. Actually, they have tremendous affection for each other. You know? And all this competition, they feel good, happy, because then they see what Krishna likes. You know? Because Krishna likes Chandravali's humor like that. It's just like we don't like all sweets at a feast or something. And we like everything, but some things may be prominent in certain ways, certain times, you know, like that. So this chapter for me is very nice. It shows all these different aspects, introducing, I think, for the first time, these different aspects of relations with Krishna. It's interesting, too, because Krishna might be criticized for increasing the bodily concept of life because, you know, from one perspective, we'd understand that all these people, of course, they may have such hidden on the bodies. But if not, then all their bodies are just machines made of heart, lungs, liver, kidneys, intestines, you know, teeth, hair, you know, brains. You know? And as soon as you open it up, then, you know, Devaki is a machine, you know, all this, Vasudeva is a machine, like that. So it's interesting that Krishna actually here and in general is kind of like, promoting the bodily concept of life, because that's the best way for us to see the spiritual world on this platform. It's so interesting. I don't fully understand how it works, but pretty much you can see, you know, if we're here, let's play in the mirror. And it probably says, pure devotee lives in this world, seeing everything as a replica of Vaikuntha, very happily. Like that, a reflection. And the light of the Bhagavad and so on describes that we shouldn't denigrate this material world because everything is a reflection of the spiritual world. So we can use it properly in the game, in the Boma Lila. But in the end, we see too that everybody, Subhadra and did austerities with Draupadi, with somebody. They went off and did austerities like that the same way to get free from the image of reflection. And to go to the other lila, you know, Gokula to Goloka, like that. So it's kind of my basic thoughts about the text like that. Anybody else have any comments or questions like that at this point?
Just one second, Maharaj. I have to switch over. That takes a minute. Okay, now we're unmuted. So, okay, anybody have any comments or questions?
Yes, I can add something, or Dandavats Maharaj, Vidugdha Madhava Das.
Jai Hare Krishna!
So I've made a study of the Ramayana. I actually did a condensed version of it, illustrated condensed version of the Ramayana. It hasn't been published, but I worked on it for years. But in studying the Leela of Ram, it was Mantara that polluted Kaikeyi. We all know that part. But actually, Kaikeyi resisted quite a bit you know, the complaints of Mantara that Ram was given the position of, you know, prince regent. He was going to be the next king. And it was clear in that part where the way Valmiki describes her as the stepmother of Ram that she considered Ram like her own son. So it took some wrangling from Mantara to knock her off that position. And when she did, you know what actually turned it was when Mantara said, well, you know what? If Ram becomes king, you become second wife. You become the maidservant of Kaushalya. Do you think you could live with that? That's what turned it. That's what actually, you know, got her, you know, going in the direction of asking for those two boons. And later on in the Leela, when Kaikeyi was devastated, Bharat had disowned her as his mother. He went after Ram to try to plead with him to come back to Ayodhya, and they took the whole of army and a lot of the citizens of Ayodhya out to Chitrakoot, where they had set up their first camp. And when Bharat and Ram met in the exchanges after they did the Shraddh for Dasarath in the river there, he told Bharat to forgive his mother, that he had forgiven her. And so, you know, it goes both ways. Ram knew the heart of Kaikeyi, and he, you know, he didn't take it personally. It was just something that had to happen to get him into the forest and moving in the direction of dealing with Ravan.
Yeah. Actually, too, was it Mantara was actually an Apsara sent by the demigods, no?
I don't know that story. What is that? She's an Apsara?
Yeah. As far as I understand it, she, like, we might be irritated with her, but the demigods, they saw this whole thing that we had to happen, so they sent one Apsara, as I remember reading, and that was Mantara, and so she, even she, when she was doing all this, she was doing it to try and, you know, create this situation, you know, where the whole thing, the whole pastime could carry on like that.
Well, she had a tough role. She has a, you know... like Judas in Jesus' Leela, you know, that's a tough role, you know?
Or it's like the, you know, in these soap operas, you see a little bit sometimes, there's always some woman that everybody hates, you know, and she does it in such a way that it's really such a nice actress to produce. Oh, everybody hates her beyond belief like that, you know?
Right.
So on. I guess from Krishna's point of view, that's the whole point, from Krishna's point of view, that everything is fun. You know, even we fall in Maya for him, it's like little children fighting and stuff. And it's, you know, okay, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's an interesting section here, if my robot doesn't fail me. By the way, one thing is there's vedabase.net, but now there's also vedabase.com. I don't know if you know that or not. And when I was our disciple, kind of, whatever, we're all trying to be Prabhupada's disciples. Anyway, he's from Radhadesh, and he's working on it now, vedabase.com. And it's simply Prabhupada's books online, but now it's also Spanish, English, and Zulu or something. It says ZU, I never checked it.
Wow.
He has a couple more languages, and it has different facilities. And it's developing it. And the idea is that he wants to synchronize all the books and all the different languages by paragraph. And so that, you know, you can cross reference, you know, from one to the other by paragraph, not just by purport. Then we're suggesting he actually get some devotees who have some training in library science and indexing to go ahead and set up some kind of nice system whereby people can suggest different index entries. For example, ghee could refer to fire sacrifice or cooking. But in any case, then people suggest different index topics, you know, like stepmothers, you know, something like that. Varnashram.
You can
the indexing system shows you like subdivisions, and then if it gets approved, then it goes into a very nice index, intelligent index, and if it's coming from somebody in Czechoslovakia, then automatically it's propagated to all the other languages like that. You know, so some nice projects for making this investigation into these topics like that.
Can you do a search, Maharaj?
He's just developing it, but it'll have where you can actually be like, what's the word? You can be a registered person, keep your bookmarks, everything online, and then you can actually start doing a search and everything else. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's so many things happening. Then Radhika and Krishna Kshetra Prabhu, they were working on it. She'd almost be ready. But the BBT will have a separate academic imprint. It'll be the BBT, but it'll be a separate name. And that'll be like a regular, refereed academic journal, where people can write articles, but on a level of like, in an academic level with citations and this kind of language. And he says now that in general theological circles, academic circles, before people didn't like these religious things like that, but now because the religious people have been acting in a very scholarly way, and because people are changing, you're not based on rational empiricism and what you see and this things, but you're based upon your scriptural texts, but you're very rigorous about how you're doing it. So now these things are actually becoming accepted as sources of bona fide information for discussing things like that. So the whole world's kind of changing like that. There's a nice, here we go. Actually, it's vedabase.com. Yeah. This is sacrificial performances performed by Vasudev. So I guess it's Kurukshetra. And Vasudev was asking all the sages present, is there a fruitive activity that's so fruitive that it counteracts the result of all other fruitive activities like that? And they said, yeah, devotional service. Yeah. So it says, Sri Vasudev, after hearing all the sages, offered his respectful obeisances under their lotus feet. In this way, he pleased the sages. Then he requested them to perform the yajnas. When the sages were selected as priests of the sacrifice, they in turn induced Vasudev to collect the required paraphernalia for executing the yajnas in that place of pilgrimage. When Vasudev was thus persuaded to perform the yajnas, all the members of the Yadu dynasty took their baths, dressed themselves very nicely, decorated themselves beautifully, and garlanded themselves with lotus flowers. Vasudev's wives, dressed with nice garments and ornaments and golden necklaces, approached the arena of sacrifice carrying in their hands the required articles to perform the sacrifice. When everything was complete, there was heard the vibrations of mridangas, conch shells, kettle drums, other musical instruments. Professional dancers, both male and female, began to dance. Sudas, Magadas, who were professional singers, began to offer prayers by singing. The Gandharvas and their wives, whose voices were very sweet, began to sing many auspicious songs. Vasudev anointed his eyes with black cosmetic, smeared butter over his body, and then along with his 18 wives, headed by Devaki, sat before the priests to be purified by the Abhishek ceremony. When the ceremony was being observed strictly according to the principles of the scriptures, Vasudev resembled the moon encircled by the stars. Because he was being initiated for the sacrifice, he was dressed in a deer skin, but his wives were dressed with very nice saris, bangles, necklaces, ankle bells, earrings, and many other ornaments. Vasudev looked very beautiful surrounded by his wives, exactly like the king of heaven when he performed such sacrifices. At that time, when Lord Krishna and Balaram, along with their wives, children, and relatives, sat down in that great sacrificial arena, it appeared that the Supreme Personality of Godhead was present along with all the living entities and multi-energies that are part of Him. We have heard from the Shastras that Lord Krishna has multi-energies and parts and parcels. But now, in that sacrificial arena, all could actually experience how the Supreme Personality of Godhead eternally exists with His different energies. So I guess this goes back to the point before that even maybe we have these bodies made of matter, when we use them properly, they become very good mirrors for seeing the actual spiritual world. Lord Krishna appeared as Lord Narayan and Lord Balaram as Shankarshan. the reservoir of all living entities. Vasudeva satisfied Lord Vishnu by performing different kinds of yajnas, sacrifices, as his Jyotishtoma, Darsha Purnamasi. Yeah. Some yajnas are called Prakrit, and some are known as Saurya Shatra, Vaikrita. Therefore, the other sacrifices known as Agnihotra were also performed. And the prescribed articles were offered in the proper way. Lord Vishnu was pleased. The ultimate purpose of offering oblations and sacrifices to please Lord Vishnu. But in the age of Kali, it is very difficult to collect the different articles required for offering sacrifices. People have neither the means to collect the required paraphernalia, nor the necessary knowledge or tendency to offer such sacrifices. Therefore, in this age of Kali, people who are mostly unfortunate, full of anxieties, and disturbed by various kinds of calamities, the only sacrifice recommended is the performance of Sankirtan Yajna. Worshipping Lord Chaitanya by Sankirtan Yajna is the only recommended process for this age. After performance of different sacrifices, Vasudeva offered ample riches, clothing, ornaments, cows, land, maidservants to the priests. Thereafter, all the wives of Vasudeva took their avabrita baths and performed the part of the sacrificial duty known as patni samyajna. Die. Yeah. So very, very nice description of, you know, what it means to be the wife of Vasudeva, or the wife of a devotee, or to have a devotee as your wife. I remember one story that one time Vaisheshika told us, what is his name? Oof. Anyway, he and his wife, very, very nice Mataji, living in Vanaprastha, and he was describing Nirkula. I remember that the story, the thing was that we had a very beautiful cloth and everything for Radha Gokulananda for Janmashtami, but it just turned out that nobody had the time to finish doing all the sequining, putting on sequins and everything for the outfit to be ready for Janmashtami. So finally, she agreed to do it. And as I remember, he was describing that, you know, that she was just doing it, and she did it until her fingers were practically speaking, almost bleeding from putting all these sequins on. And he sat there with her reading the Krishna book. Like, he read the Krishna book like six times or something like that. It was some incredible thing, you know, on and on. And finally, the outfit was ready just in time. They took it over for the day of Janmashtami, and the whole festival was going on. And finally, when the doors opened in Berkeley Temple at midnight, and there were all the deities dressed with the sequins, he was standing with Mother Nirkula together. And he said, of course, he's a North American Sankirtan leader. He said, of course, there's no experience like book distribution. But he said, when he was standing there with his wife and the doors opened, the curtain, he said, it was pretty close. There's such an experience to see that and feel this, you know, this connection, you know, with your wife and your husband, how you did service together for Krishna, you know. And of course, after that, there's, you know, gross sense gratification. It's like an insanity or something, you know. So it's some idea, I guess. Actually, I'm collecting an index on these verses and stuff, references, and there's one nice section. And one of the things it says, that husband and wife can remain as husband and wife in Vaikuntha together to serve Krishna in that fashion, like that. They want to, you know. So I guess it's about all, you know, all of our points like that.
Maharaj,
today we're going to, questions, comments.
Okay. Now that I'm getting older in my age, and I'm in my 50s, so just about all ladies are younger than me, pretty much. So it's not difficult to address, you know, other ladies as mother, because, you know, in the purport it's talking about the seven different types of mothers. Of course, Chanakya Pandit, you know, he quotes that Matri Vat Paradare Shu, that if you see every woman as mother, then you're an intelligent person. So it's easy enough to address every woman other than your wife as mother, but how to actually see them as mother, that's a little bit more difficult, you know, especially like a young, attractive lady, or a very young, you know, girl. How to see them as mother? What would be techniques or the proper state of mind?
Well, I don't know exactly, but I think, of course, in, you know, in our passionate, ignorant culture, you know, we see every woman, not even as mother, but as actually, what Chandrika Pandit says, a man in the mode of ignorance sees a woman as you know, a hunk of meat, basically. He sees a man in the mode of goodness sees the interaction of the three modes of nature, and only a man in the mode of passion actually sees a woman, you know. And I always remember one time I was up on Telegraph Avenue in Berkeley, you know, doing something and going to campus or whatever. And there's one guy there who was in a motorized wheelchair thing, and he had all these problems, birth defects, and very tamasic, you know, consciousness. But he came to the temple several times, and so I saw him, said hello, and this and that. We were talking a little bit. And one young college girl walked by, and he said, "Hey, what a good-looking hunk of meat!" Like that, you know. And so I was thinking, wow, everybody sees things differently, you know. Of course, dogs don't even really see that much. Their kind of vision is, I think, it's kind of like a blurred thing like that. So they run around smelling everybody, you know, and probably have a tremendous intelligence for categorizing fragrances and smells. And then when they aren't sure about that, they'll lick you. Oh, yeah, it's Ramananda. Yeah, tastes like Ramananda. Yeah. Oh, he's been doing this. Tastes like that. You know? So they live in a different world. Yeah. So, in the beginning, I've heard Prabhupada said that because of the birth we've taken, we won't be able to give up thinking about illicit sex. You know, it's just like it's part of the ROM, read-only memory, you know, in our bodies, in our in the years when we grow up. You know, you take a little tree, a sapling, and you bend it, and you can do that, you know. Then after some time, when it's, you know, one foot across, you're not going to bend it back, you know. And so, same way, all the experiences that we've had, the stimulation from media, communication, the things we've been pushed, automatically, men and women are thinking of each other in our culture just in terms of gratification, you know? And so that you don't think about people as mothers like that. You know? So in some ways, it's the same way. When you see somebody, you say mother and this and that, hopefully all these different probably purports and everything are sinking into the heart. And actually, maybe even artificially, you can think, okay, here's a, you know, a little 7-year-old girl, and she's very sweet and everything else. But you can even think, okay, but later on, she's going to grow up or naturally, and then there'll be a nice marriage, and she'll be married to somebody, and then later on, she will be a mother, like that. And I think also the thing is there that, again, we're talking about this, is that the gross body between men and women becomes distinguished. I'm not sure what point. But when the embryo is developing, it's pretty early. The development of the embryo, you know, some become female and some become male. But behind that, and probably causing the whole thing to kick off, is the subtle body of buddhi and manas. So feminine intelligence and masculine intelligence are very substantial. They're different things. You know? And so therefore, even if it's a very small girl, you can look at her and see from the very beginning she wants to play with dolls and she's very affectionate and protective, you know, towards other people like that, whereas men want to compete, young boys want to compete. So I think like that, if we just look for the qualities, we'll start to become conditioned to look that way. And we'll have to appreciate that, yeah, we always have these passionate ideas towards the opposite sex and we have to, you know, control how much contact we have and then in the contact, he's watching our mind a little bit, doesn't do something like a dog, you know, keep it on the leash. But in general, as hearing and stuff like that, I think a lot of the natural tendency comes out and we can see, you know, all ladies, pretty much, of course, it's Kali Yuga. Yeah, there's actually some evidence that somebody may be a man trapped in a woman's body. So maybe, see, people different ways. But in general speaking, yeah, we see, yeah, the girls have this tendency to be mothers. It's a very natural role for them to take care of people. Yeah. Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Yes.
Hare Krishna. Mother Gandharika.
Thank you. It's a very nice answer. You're going right back to the womb. Amazing. Also, in the Vedic culture, I've heard men addressing young woman as goddess Ambika, because ultimately the Vedic woman, they understand her to be the representative of Shri, expansion of ultimately either like coming coming from expansion from Radharani to the queens, to the gopis, to queens of and then Lakshmis. So in the Vedic culture, this is considered Graha Lakshmi. The woman is considered Graha Lakshmi. So I've heard some men, older men, addressing young woman, very young girl actually, even 7 years old, that she's Mataji, like that. She's actually goddess, goddesses right from a young age. But I have a question for you also. Was you mentioned something around about husband and wife being together in the Vaikuntha? They can serve together in Vaikuntha?
Yes, I'm now clicking on my word thing and hope it doesn't crash the Skype thing. I'm clicking on open file. Open file. Okay, it says open. And it goes to all my whatever files here. Computers will create a class of people who appear to know many things but actually know nothing. So, ABC.
Maharaj, while you're looking for that, I want to make a comment on Ramananda's question.
Ahead.
While you're looking that up,
give me on.
Ramananda, I'll give you a few minutes there. Ramananda, you said that you know, now that you're getting older, and you look around at so many of the women, and you're older than most of them. Well, let's never forget the fact that we're not this body, and we may identify that now you're in your 50s but and 60s, but we're really not. We're not this body at all, and we're not older than them, and we're all eternal. And the more we embrace our spirituality, the soul is actually very youthful. And if we can try to embrace our youthful nature, it may be easier to recognize all women as mother. Really, no matter what their age is.
That's tricky.
So, anyway.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Actually, it says that the old people in Dwarka, they would seek, because they saw Krishna every day, they were always full of youthful energy.
Yeah,
if you see see the deities, you go to Sringartik every day, you become full of youthful energy. I have one dream about Prabhupada. I don't have many dreams about Prabhupada, but I was in kind of like some rich man's estate or something, a little bit up from the swimming pool, big swimming pool. And Srila Prabhupada walked right past me in a bathing suit with a towel over his arm and kind of smiled at me, you know. Then he went down to the swimming pool and he was jumping into the swimming pool. He was jumping across the swimming pool, like saw his flips and everything else. And I was just looking amazed, you know. Then Prabhupada walked back up and he came past me and he smiled at me and he said, "See, I am full of youthful energy." Like that. So a very strange thing. Okay, I have my index open now. Wedding, caste relationships, children education, divorce usually caused by wife, duties to find, feed people, grihamedi, grihastashram, money. My goodness. Okay, we'll go down here. If I can find this or not. Yeah. Husband. Oh, yeah, okay. It's 4:23:29. Yeah. 4:23:29. Yeah.
Sorry, I was disconnected. What does it say?
4:23:29 is the citation.
Yeah. What does it exactly say? Could you read that to us?
Okay, I have to find. I'll go flip over here to another database. Okay, I'm going back to the top of the page. Where it allows me to go to the, then I can go to something here, books. Okay, go to books. Okay, it's open. Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. Fourth canto. Okay. And I go down to 23. Prithu Maharaj is going back home. And what did I say? 4:23. 29. Definitely your short-term memory starts to go when you get older. 4:23:29.
Queen Archie.
Yeah.
With her husband, Maharaj Prithu.
Yeah. Okay, Maitreya Vacha The great sage Maitreya continued speaking, my dear Vidura, when the wives of the denizens of heaven were thus talking amongst themselves, Queen Archie reached the planet which her husband, Prithu, Mars Prithu, the topmost self-realized soul, had attained. Purport. According to Vedic scriptures, a woman who dies with her husband or enters the fire in which her husband is burning also enters the same planet her husband attains. In this material world, there is a planet known as Patiloka, just as there is a planet known as Pitriloka. But in this verse, the word Patiloka does not refer to any planet within this material universe. For Prithu Maharaj, being topmost among self-realized souls, certainly returned home back to Godhead and attained one of the Vaikuntha planets. Queen Archie also entered Patiloka, but this planet is not in the material universe, for she actually entered the planet which her husband attained. In this material world also, when a woman dies with her husband, she again unites with him in the next birth. Similarly, Maharaj Prithu and Queen Archie united in the Vaikuntha planets. In the Vaikuntha planets, there are husbands and wives, but there is no question of giving birth to children or having sex life. In the Vaikuntha planets, both husbands and wives are extraordinarily beautiful, and they are attracted to one another, but they do not enjoy sex life. Indeed, they consider sex life not to be very relishable, because both husband and wife are always absorbed in Krishna consciousness and chanting the glories of the Lord. According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur also, a husband and wife can turn the home into a place as good as Vaikuntha. Even while in this material world, being absorbed in Krishna consciousness, even in this world, husband and wife can live in Vaikuntha. And simply by serving the deity of the Lord within the home and serving the deity according to the directions of Shastra. In this way, they will never feel the sex urge. And this is the test of advancement in devotional service. One who is advanced in devotional service is never attracted by sex life. And as soon as one becomes detached from sex life and proportionally attached to the service of the Lord, he actually experiences living in the Vaikuntha planets. And the ultimate issue, there is actually no material world. But when one forgets the service of the Lord and engages himself in the service of senses, he is said to be living in the material world. Okay, so a little different. I remember. But definitely, yeah, there are husbands and wives in the spiritual world. But most likely, we're going to go back and find a different, you know, situation. Maybe there won't be husband and wife. But, yeah, we can live as husband and wife in the Vaikuntha atmosphere in this world. And actually, there are husbands and wives, Jesus souls, in the spiritual world. Then,
when you first said it, kind of sounded like the Mormon paradigm. That, you know, your wife here, and your kids, and your dog, and everybody goes.
That's Pitriloka, huh? Pitriloka. Yeah. Robin Williams in What Dreams May Come. Boy, it's a perfect description of Pitriloka. In African culture, also, there's descriptions of Pitriloka, and in the Mormons, the same thing, you know? You go and live there for a long time, and everybody else. It's interesting because Robin Williams in What Dreams May Come, he goes to Pitriloka like that. He finds his wife, he finds his dog, he finds his kids. And they're all in different kinds of situations, you know? But then he asks this guide, I said, okay, well, I'm beginning to understand where I am. But where's God in all of this? And his guide says, well, he's up there above us and trying to tell us that he loves us and wondering why we can't listen. And we kind of laugh and go back to the Pitriloka activity, you know? So it's kind of like these, what, Vrijarsik Puranas, where it's mentioned, but it's not emphasized. Right? Okay, I guess we're going to move on here. We're all going to go for a walk to a waterfall. Now we're here in Bolivia, and it's a national festival. Very nice program, a lot of kirtan, chanting, very kind of different atmosphere, you know, with the different countries like that, and the publishing and distribution of books. A lot of very simple mountain people here, so they need very simple literature and stuff like that. You know, a lot of kirtan. So I want to thank you all very much, and please forgive our stupidity and don't give up on us. And hopefully we'll all go back together. Have ISKCON Goloka at some point.
Well, thank you,
Maharaj, for the class.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I'm glad you're Srila Prabhupada.
Brahmananda?
Yeah.
This is Maharani Devadasi. I'm not at home with my phone book, but I have a message for you. Can you call me at Navadweep's house, please?
Sure.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.